I don't know about you, but I do love the Christmas season. And I was watching, as I was driving home, the cars around me that had their Christmas trees all bundled up and on top of their cars. And it's like, I'm looking at the schedule and I'm thinking, I've already had my Christmas tree up since Thanksgiving. It's almost religiously. Thanksgiving, tree goes up along with lights. And if I could, if it was like cool, I would leave lights and Christmas trees up all year long until I got sick of it and then I'd probably take it down. But I just love the lights and I love all that. And I almost feel sad for those that wait until like the last minute to put up their tree. I'm like, oh, so sad. But I do love Christmas. And last night we were out doing some Christmas shopping for the TLP thing. And it was a blast. Patrea and I both were just saying, it was like, man, this is fun. This is exciting. We saw Matt out there. He's torturing Dorian at Walmart. You know, that's where you take your kids to torture them. I say that because there was one time I actually saw this mama in St. Louis dragging her kid down one of the aisles. I have no idea how it started and why it got to that point, but it was there. She was like, yeah, and just dragging him. So, yeah, I guess that's what you do with your kids at Walmart. Christmas season is wonderful. And last week, we started a message series on Do You Hear What I Hear? And it's kind of based loosely on one of those Christmas carols. But turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read a portion, another portion of the Christmas story. And we're going to jump into part two of Do You Hear What I Hear? Because the greatest gift that I want to open up and the greatest gift I hope you catch this Christmas season is, how do you hear the voice of God? How do you hear the voice of God? How do you know that you're listening to the Lord? And how do you really have that security that you heard the voice of God and you can act accordingly? You can respond accordingly. Because, you know, quite frankly, it is really one of the most important things we can ever have in life. That is that confidence that we're hearing God and we know what to do and when to act and what not to do. I mean, that's so important. So let's turn Luke chapter 2, and I want to read probably one of the most famous sections. Let's start at verse 8. Verse 8 of chapter 2 in the Gospel of Luke, we read, "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them." Oops, sorry. "And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night." You can probably think back to a million and one bathrobe versions of this drama. Little 9 and 11-year-olds dressed in their bathrobes with their socks, acting like shepherds. That's exactly the picture in my mind. "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. And then the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which is for all people. For today in the city of David, Bethlehem, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you're going to find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts." Those are a bunch of other angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Verse 15, "And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Well, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Which the Lord has made known to us. "And they came in haste and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known this statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary," this is a good verse, "but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And then the shepherds went back," probably to their fields, tending them at night, "glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask for you to just speak to our hearts today through these words, through your scripture. Would you use me as a mouthpiece today? In your precious name I pray. Amen. So, how are we to hear the voice of God? Well, I can tell you, like these shepherds, what I imagine is a peaceful, quiet night where they're putting their sheep to rest. Imagine if we could be with those shepherds, and they were out in the fields, and it was nighttime, and they were giving their sheep rest, and they were just doing whatever's necessary to keep them safe or to watch them so that they could bed down and they could have first dibs on the right field the next day or whatever it might be as they migrate from one little local city to another little local city. But that's their jobs. They were out there, and then it got quiet, and everybody was at rest. I don't know. It's similar to about that 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning in my house. There are mornings where I wake up at, say, 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I'm out there, and I'm sitting with my coffee, and in my front room right now, there's the Christmas tree lights on or those other things, and I sit there, and like this morning, snow's falling. There's not another soul up Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, except for those crazy people. You might be one of those crazy people. In fact, when I got on the road, there was only one other track of car tires. That was it. And then mine, I just kind of did this up and down. You can actually swerve like crazy on the road at that time in the morning. Nobody's around. It's just awesome. But the feeling I get at that time in the day, it feels just like what I can imagine it felt for those shepherds. Everything's quiet. Shh. It's just calm. And you probably hear the little sheep doing little stuff, and that's about it. But they're all there. And when sheep calm down and they gather, they put their heads together and then they hunker down and they stick their rears outside so that it's facing any potential threat or enemy. Think about that. That's kind of funny. And it just gives them a sense of safety. It's like they all huddle up and then they hunker down. There's warmth. And then the shepherds just kind of get in there with them because there's great warmth and there's safety in this big mass of fur and bleating sheep. And then they just... stillness. How do we hear the voice of God? I believe God likes to interrupt our quiet stillness with his voice. Just like those shepherds, talk about a major interruption of their quietness. And it was in stark contrast, I get the impression. It was like it's all calm, and then suddenly, and I'm sure they were all afraid. But you know, when we're hungry for the voice of God, that's what we really want, isn't it? Usually when we need God's voice, it's because there's chaos and there's confusion, and we've got to know what God says and what we're supposed to do. And God wants to teach us today how to bed the sheep, get a calm presence, so that he can be heard loud and clear. And I believe you've got to learn, we've got to cultivate, how do we calm everything? How do we still our minds? How do we still our hearts and our souls so that we can even hear the angel chorus, so that we can even hear God's voice saying, hey, unto you, peace, goodwill, there's a child born. I really do believe one of the great things people as Christians have to cultivate is how to calm themselves and be still and know that God is God. And especially today, I know in every generation this is a reality, but I really do feel right now in our day and age, this is a major priority. Maybe it's because of all of the chaos in our lives. I don't know about you, but there's all kinds of distractions in our life, isn't there? I left my phone in my office and drove around the city one day, and I felt naked. Like, where's my phone? It's just because whenever there's an idle moment, my hand just does this, bing. Oh, look at that. And then I have to put it back away. Or anytime it just does a little vibration. And then I'm like, oh, what's that? Nothing. You know, and if it doesn't even do something, I just have to make sure it's still alive. Are you still alive? Still alive? You're still alive. Good. And I mean, it's just amazing. I heard this quote one time. If a tree falls in the woods
and I don't tweet about it, did it happen? And the reality is we're so addicted to the distractions of just a little bing, what is that? Bing, what is that? It's just crazy. And then not just that. I don't know if you're the type of person that the minute you jump in a car, you have to turn on the radio. Jump in the car. As you just do the drive around. And then if there's silence, it starts to feel awkward. You get antsy. There's too much silence. There's noise in my head. There's noise. Stop the voices. Stop the voices. Oh, peace. I feel better. Peace. It's almost like we are addicted to chaos. If you come to my house at certain times, it is chaos. Last night, the reason we went shopping last night is we couldn't stand our children anymore. I'm telling you, it was like they were all insane. It was so loud in our little house. All you could hear was, I don't even know how to explain what they were doing. She told me, my wife told me that was called playing. All that sounded to me was weird laughter that almost sounded like there needed medication or something like that. And then if you were in the basement, all you heard was boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, these are small girls. How can they be making so much noise? And then when you walk up, sure enough, they're red in their head, they're laughing. And I'm going, I need some peace and quiet. Let's go to the mall. You know, and so instead we went to Walmart, and I guess that is not the place to find peace and quiet. I'm just telling you, there's not peace and quiet there. And as Matt and Dorian can tell, it was not peace and quiet. And you know what? Some of us are so accustomed to that noise in life. When it comes time for us to find what God is saying, we kind of have forgotten how to quiet everything. For you, it might simply be you're so busy, you have so many demands on your life that it feels like you can't even eke out 5 minutes or a minute. It's almost like you have to do two things at once. Have you ever been that kind of a person? I'm confessing here, where your only prayer time is while you're driving, listen to the Christian radio station, and you go, oh, I didn't pray this morning. And I better not close my eyes while I'm on the highway. So, Heavenly Father, I just ask you for today. Yeah, kind of all those things. And then we'll talk later this evening. But, you know, I love you and you love me. And whoa, stop driving like that. And then, you know, you get to wherever you're going. And you're like, amen. Whew, I think I barely got my prayer time in. Yeah, that counts. Because I had no other time set aside and I didn't do anything. And it was just so crazy. Or you feel so guilty right before you walk into work. You go, Lord, help me for today and all that kind of stuff. And amen. And that's kind of your version of being still and listening to the voice of the Lord. And yet at the same time, there's that gnawing curiosity of what does God want from me? I need to know what God wants me to do in this situation or that situation. It makes me think of the biography by Sandy Danglar. And in this biography about a person who I think had more chaos than I'll ever know in 10 lifetimes, she wrote a biography about Susanna Wesley. And I want to just read to you a little bit of the noise and chaos in her life. I just think it's unbelievable. Are you familiar with who Susanna Wesley is? She's the mother of two very important church individuals, one of which we're going to talk about, who wrote 9,000 hymns. That's a lot. And one who preached at one time to 32,000 people without a microphone. And everywhere these two brothers went, John and Charles, there was revival and all kinds of great miracles, but the real reality that I want to point out is what this biographer points out. Susanna Wesley was the mother of 10 children. She actually had 19 children, but 9 of them died in infancy. She was married to a pastor, and their marriage was pretty rough. Their marriage was really rough. Why? They would argue about just about everything, and anything that upset or disappointed the husband pastor, he would actually just leave. He would just leave and do churchy work and leave her alone with 10 kids. In a time in America where she had to do everything, literally. Now, not all the kids were just, you know, low-maintenance kids. She had kids with special needs. Kids that actually had to be taken care of. And so I just have to hear with this. So because of just the one child being crippled, another couldn't talk until he was nearly 6 years old. So that in itself is pretty tough. Susanna herself was sick the majority of her life. So she was a very sick person. There was no money and often no food. 10 kids. I don't know about you. That's crazy, isn't it? I remember when I was little, there was one time we had in our family, my mom talks about it as one of the darkest days in our life as a young family. We just moved to Oklahoma and we were struggling to make ends meet as a young pastor family in my dad's first pastorate. And we had one potato and one can of cream, like something soup. That's all we had. And until someone just miraculously dropped a bunch of groceries at our front door and nobody knew about us and we didn't know anybody else that would do that. And so my dad's still convinced that there is an angel that shops at Aldi's somewhere. And it was amazing, but in addition to these, their debt plagued them so much. And right now in America, there is such a high amount of revolving debt in people's lives, isn't there? I don't know about you, but I think the last time I checked, the average revolving debt is around $13,000 per couple. That means in credit cards and things like that, people are carrying about that. Now, there's others that carry even more, which is shocking and alarming. So he had so much debt, he was in debtor's prison more than once. That's amazing. So he was put in prison as a preacher for his debt. And when he was put into prison, there were other problems. Twice their home burnt down to the ground and they lost everything. You feeling better about your life yet? I'm like, you know, I don't got it so bad. I'm okay. You know, my van's got a couple quirks to it. One window doesn't quite roll up and down when I tell it to. And there's a lock in the back that can embarrass people if you try and activate it. What I mean is if you hit the button, the back door goes... And it is great fun. It is great fun to freak people out and just do that every now and then. During this chaotic time in Susanna's life, she made a promise to God before all of this. Her promise initially sounded like this. She said, Lord, for every hour of entertainment, I'm going to spend an hour with you. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? She couldn't do it. In fact, the real reason, I believe, she says there was never time for entertainment for her. She never had any time for entertainment. Think about it. She never had any me time. She never went to hot yoga to, like, just be away. And sorry, I wasn't looking at her son until that. That's funny. I've never been to hot yoga either. So, although I think I might do it now. I don't even know what it is other than, never mind. I'm distracted. She never really had any entertainment in me time. She never went to the movies and did those things. She just raised 10 kids and all of the chaotic stuff. Well, the house is burning down and husband's in debtor prison or upset and doing a missions trip. I mean, whatever it might be. And she's all alone. So then it kind of recalibrated. And this is what she said to kind of quiet her soul and hear the voice of God and teach her kids how to hear the voice of God. She said, okay, Lord, instead of me spending an hour or whatever for every hour of entertainment, I'm just going to make sure that I open my day, close my day with you. And she began to do that. And that also meant that throughout the day, she learned how to focus on God. And it is so important. So here's one of the rules, and you might have heard this. She made a rule for all of her 10 kids. Whenever you see mom, take her apron and put it up over her head. Don't disturb me because I'm quieting my soul and I'm focusing on God. It's the best I can do, and you've got to help me about it. So leave me alone whenever you see the apron over my head. I look at this and I think it's very, very important. I think it's very important for us. When one of her daughters became pregnant out of wedlock and the man then left her and deserted her, she did this. She prayed. She covered her head with her apron and she went to the Lord. I kind of thought about this and I said, Lord, if Susanna Wesley knows how to quiet herself in the midst of all that chaos, we today probably have no excuse. So God, help me, help us as a church to set that stage for you to be able to speak to us. Because every time she put that apron over her head, I imagine it's like the shepherds with those sheep, quiet in the field. Even though chaos might have been all around her, she quieted herself before the Lord. I think maybe what I should do is today I should just pass out aprons. So that wherever you're at, you can just remind yourself to get alone and focus on the Lord. You know, there's a video clip I want to show you in just a couple seconds from a movie that I kind of like called Bagger Vance, The Legend of Bagger Vance. And when it comes to quieting our souls, this movie has a scene in it where this weird character, Bagger, teaches Juno, this golfer, how to refine his game, refine his stroke, his authentic stroke that he lost. And part of the methodology in which he's trying to teach him, he's like, you've got to focus on the field. You've got to see the field. And so I want you to watch this clip here, and hopefully the audio and everything is working. So let's go ahead and play that. And I want you to ask yourself if this is something that maybe you and I need to do in our spiritual life. Learn how to focus and tune out all the other things. Go ahead and play it. It might be that one. It might be the one with the YouTube link too. I was just going to say that. I'm sorry. I don't know if I could do the Southern voice. Hey, man, you want to go check on it? As they're doing this, I want to turn your attention to a couple things. Turn with me to Psalms 131. And in Psalms 131, I'll turn there too. This is actually one of my favorite psalms because of the content of this psalm. And I'm going to read through it real quick with you. Psalms 131, verse 1, it says, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in matters too great or things too difficult for me. Here it is. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. And it says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That verse right there, it tells us what it means to quiet our soul. And in fact, it's expounded upon in many different ways. But one particular author, he's somebody who I really, really like. His name is Dr. Powelson. Dr. David Powelson wrote a book. I read this probably, first read it maybe 5-6 years ago. And it's called Seeing with New Eyes. And in it, he expounds on what it means to quiet your soul, specifically in reference to Psalms 131. And he gives us four things that have to be silenced in us. And, you know, his quote is this that I have to point out. He says, our biggest problem when it comes to quieting ourselves is our self-will. Our proud self-will. That's the noise machine inside of us. And there is a way to gain composure from God, but here's what we focus on in order to gain composure and quiet our soul. He offers four areas where we can focus. You guys just give me a big thumbs up when you think you got it back there, okay? Here's the first area where he says that we've got to learn to quiet our self-will and our pride. He says in the area of achievement. Some of the noise that we've got to shut out and quiet is this driving, proud, spirit that says we've got to achieve, we've got to get the best grades, we've got to have the best promotion at work, we have to have the perfect devotional life. Believe me, even your spiritual life can become the thing that distracts you. What is it that you think is so important for you to achieve? Because sometimes we can't hear the voice of God because all we can hear is our achievement, what we're going for. And so if we're going to quiet our soul, Psalms 131 says, stop focusing on those achievements you're going for, and you might be able to quiet yourself and hear the voice of God. So that's one area. Now there's another thing that he focuses on, and that's acquisitions. Things that we want or that we need. Now, I remember we do Christmas lists in our house, and the only persons that are really bad at Christmas lists are my wife. She just never lists what she wants. And she gave me this explanation recently. She goes, well, I guess I just have to see it before I know I want it. And I was like, oh, well, that doesn't help us before Christmas morning. You got to somehow think of it. Like, what would I like to see and then like to want? I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's so funny. But it's hard for us sometimes to list wants. But, you know, traditionally right now, all of us can come up with a huge list of wants. There's really no shortage of the things that we want. And I ask myself, what is it that I seek? What are the goodies that I want in life? And what are the goodies that I want that I think are going to provide security or happiness? I mean, these are the things that tie into everything I want to acquire. I need. I want, give me. And we get these things in our heads. And I don't know, have you ever gone to pray and ask the Lord for maybe what does he want you to do or hear his voice? And instead, all you can hear are, I need, I want. So if you're going to silence your soul, you have to silence this long list of I need, I want. If you want to quiet the sheep in your life, still your heart and hear the voice of God. And believe me, we've got to hear the voice of God. So quiet the wants. The other two, the next one is our appetites. This one, you know, I've confessed it many times. I have deep affection for hot chocolate chip cookies. I have deep affection for ice cream. And if you combine the two, I've achieved nirvana and I have passed out. I am one with sugar. And it is just overwhelmingly exciting to have hot chocolate chip cookies and cold milk or just frozen milk in the form of ice cream. I just love this. I love it. And great. And so there are many times the noise in our life that we have to quiet are our appetites. And I don't know about you, but our bodies can be pretty noisy and loudy. And so one of the areas that it's really a good way for us to silence it is just the discipline of fasting with prayer. You know, it really doesn't change or manipulate God in any way. Fasting doesn't make God do anything. But what I'll tell you it does is it silences you. Sometimes it's what you've got to do in order to hear God. Just shut your stomach up. You know, shut your whatever else up that is craving goodies and things that make you feel nice or whatever it is. Maybe it's just that appetite for diversion. You can't go one day without streaming something on Netflix. Guilty. I mean, it's amazing what we have an appetite for. And the last thing that Dr. Paulson points out that we have to silence. Achievement, acquisition, appetite. The last thing, he's the only one I've ever heard pointed out like this. He said, you've got to silence avoidance. Silence avoidance. What in the world does he mean? He asks the question, what is it that you desperately have to avoid? You ever thought about that? Sometimes I can't hear the voice of God because all I hear is what I'm telling him I don't want. Sometimes I can't hear the voice of God because all I'm consumed with is what I'm afraid is going to happen. Ooh, think about this. I mean, What are the lists of the fears and the things you are trying to avoid? What are the people maybe that you're trying to avoid? When you go to prayer, is that one individual that just burns your bacon? Is that one individual in your mind where you just almost have to avoid that individual in your mind in order to pray? There's a problem then. Then there's something that's got to be quieted in your life. And if it's your husband or your wife, there's a big issue there. Come talk to me, okay? But if it's your kids, welcome to the club. You know I'm teasing. But there are many fears that can grip us. Maybe it's your finances. You're so afraid of the job, or you're so afraid of the finances. You can't even hear the voice of God because you're trying to avoid the poorhouse. You're trying to avoid that losing the car, or you're trying to avoid whatever it might be. And you know what? Dr. Paulson really hits it on the head with these things. You've got to silence all of those four voices in your life if you're going to be still and know that God is Lord over everything. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's a long time. You can't do it 2 minutes right before you go to work while you're in your car listening to Q90. You really do have to focus on God. Let's watch this video and talk about focus afterwards.
I think it's time.
Time for what?
Time for you to see the field.
The field? I see the field, but it's 445 yards long. It's got a little red flag at the end of it. It's 12 strokes ahead of me. Come on.
That ain't it. Because if you seen the field, you wouldn't be hacking at that ball like you was chopping weeds out from under your front porch.
Just give me the club.
Sorry I brought it up. Hey, you gonna take that hack away.
What's the field?
Fix your eyes on Bobby Jones.
He needs a piece of work here right now.
Well, give the man room. Man room. Knock it out there, Bobby.
Practice one. Almost like it's searching for something. Then he finds it. Watch how he settles itself right into the middle of it. Feel that focus. And he got a lot of shots he could choose from. Duffs and tops and skulls. There's only one shot that's in perfect harmony with the field. One shot that's his. Authentic shot. And that shot is going to choose him. There's a perfect shot out there trying to find each and every one of us. All we got to do is get ourselves out of its way. Let it choose us. Look at him. He in the field. See that flag as some dragon you got to slay. Have to look with soft eyes. See the place where the tides and the seasons and the turning of the earth all come together. Where everything that is becomes one. You got to seek that place with your soul, Jimmy. With your hands. Don't think about it. Feel it. Your hands is wiser than your head ever gonna be. I can't take you there, Juna. Just hopes I can help you find a way. It's just you, that ball,
that flag. And all you are, seek it with your hands. Don't think about it.
Feel
it. Looking at it, Junior. Feel it. It's just
There's
you.
There's only one shot up that's in perfect that ball, harmony. You don't see that.
It's the home of your authentic swing. That flag. And all that you are.
I have no idea what that leadership yoga. Our original non-leadership yoga video was not equipped with sound. So that video, that clip, it is a great way to just illustrate the type of focus that we need in our Christian life. Do you realize that that is the intensity? What was illustrated in that is the same kind of intensity you and I have to have. If you really do want to hear the voice of the Lord, you've got to be that intense about focusing on God so that you can do like what Susanna Wesley did and what anyone who wants to quiet themselves, what they can do. They shut out the world and it's just you and God. Now, you're made for this. You're made for this. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself said this, "You're my sheep. And you hear my voice." There wasn't another option. If you are God's, that means you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. You have been born again. You're a new creation, and God calls you his sheep. And he's the great shepherd, and this is the reality of every single sheep in God's flock. You have a nature that has been built by God to hear his voice. Every single one of you can. You don't need a priest. You don't need a Pastor Ben. You don't need a best friend. You don't need someone else, a spouse or a kid or someone else. You don't need someone on YouTube or someone on TV. You are God's sheep and you can hear God's voice. But here's the key. You've got to value it more than everything else that we are tempted to value. You have to value the voice of God. We read it in Luke chapter 2, right at the end. Mary heard everything the shepherd said, and what did she do with it? Do you remember? What did she do with everything she heard him say? She pondered it in her heart. She meditated on it. She chewed on it. Why is that important? Why do we hear this in Scripture? We hear this in Scripture because it's showing us that the people who hear God's voice have a habit of valuing God's voice. They think about it. They chew on it. They meditate on it day and night. That's what they do. And if you want to quiet your soul, you have to put a priority, a very high priority on the voice of God before anything else. So if right now, I'm just going to pause in our message. And I want you to think of something that you need God to give you wisdom or direction. Something that you've been needing. God, I need this. Could you tell me what to do in this situation or how to do this or that? Is there anything at all that you need the Lord to say to you? Anything at all? Well, then this is what you and I need to do. Before you consult Google, before you talk to a friend, before you do anything else, go back to like last week's message and look at what God's already said in his word. His word will prove true every time. If God spoke something's going to happen, remember what Mary said? How is it going to happen? I'm a virgin. He said, hey, with God, all things are very possible. And I said it. I'm Gabriel, so it's just going to happen.
And do you remember last week, Zacharias? He was like, what? We're old. We ain't going to have a kid. And he's like, I'm Gabriel. I'm standing in God's presence. I just told you God's going to do this. Since you doubted, I'm going to make you mute. You can't talk until it happens. So the first thing is go back to the prophetic word that's been spoken. What has God said about you, your life, your world? What does the word say? So that's the first one. You need help? That thing you just thought about? Go to the Bible first, and God will speak to you, his sheep. But then what's the next thing? You've got to do what Jesus did. He illustrated this, and it's just like the shepherds out in the field. I just love this. In Matthew 6:6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door. I love that. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I love that. Psalms 100 verse 3 says, realize that the Lord alone is God. He made us and we are his. We're his people, the sheep of his care. Luke 22:41 says this, if you're going to hear the voice of God, you have to be very comfortable with being alone. Being alone, even if you're with other people. Luke 22:41 says that Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed in that Garden of Gethsemane. Not just that, but in many other sections of scripture, we know that it was Jesus' common practice to just go away and pray in a quiet place. Why did he do this? Because Jesus had a protocol. I don't do anything unless I hear. I don't do anything unless I see. So you and I have the potential to hear God's voice and to see what God wants us to see so that we don't misstep and mess up life, the life he gave us. So today, here's what I'd want you to do. If this was the gift of God's voice and you need to hear God's voice in your life about a relationship, about something in your family, a job, or fears that you have, or whatever, then this is your job, your task. Go straight to the Word of God. Get alone and just be isolated with God and silence every proud thing that we talked about that Dr. Paulson highlights. You've got to quiet all of that junk. And I guarantee you, when you focus like that on the presence of the Lord, you will hear the voice of God. And even if your life is as chaotic as Susanna Wesley's, you'll know how to act. And you'll teach your next generation, you'll teach your kids how to hear the voice of God. I think it's a pretty powerful thing to be able to teach someone else the voice of God. And I just have to tell you, I was thinking about the way Elijah heard the voice of the Lord. You know, Elijah was really scared and freaked out by Queen Jezebel. And if you were to go to 1 Kings chapter 19, you would see this story. And he was so freaked out by all of the chaos in his life, he ran away and he hid in Mount Horeb and he hid in a cave. And while he was there, what I think is probably pouting and afraid, he met with the Lord. But the Lord came, verse 11 in chapter 19, I think is where it starts. The Lord came and he shook the mountain and he did all of this crazy earthquakey stuff, but God didn't speak through that. I think he just freaked him out and humbled him by that. You know what I mean? And then it was like mighty wind, nothing. Mighty wind, nothing. God's voice didn't come through that. And suddenly he heard God's voice in a still small whisper. Why is this important? Church, my fear is that we want God to speak loud and clear to us, but if he did, we couldn't take it. I want to speak to you very plainly. I believe God is so merciful, he will not give us what we can't handle. And when it comes to hearing God's voice, he will speak to us in whichever way we'll hear. So my closing point is this. How do you want to hear the voice of God? Because you have an option this morning. You can hear the voice of God through the still small whisper. And in order to get that, you better humble yourself. You better get alone with the Lord and you better focus on God. But if you will not hear God's still small whisper, this is how much God loves you. He will speak to you in whatever way you will listen. That might sound comforting, but I want it to terrify you to death. Can you imagine? It's kind of like this. In a relationship often, so, you know, when we argue with people that we're close with, so Petrea and I, we're a perfect couple and we never argue, ever. And in fact, if I were to raise my voice, she might pass out because it's never happened before. And pastors never lie. See, a lot of the times we raise our voice because we don't feel heard. And our anger gets excited because we feel dismissed or displaced. And so then we suddenly feel we have to resort to another method so that the person we're trying to communicate with will finally hear us. And so we raise our voice. We start yelling. Sometimes we do stupid stuff. We punch walls. We throw things across a room. And really dumb people smack them. Just not listening to me. Now, I'm being very candid with you. In relationships, this is the way some people try to communicate. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's right. But they're resorting to the only method of communicating that they feel gets through. And I look at that and I think that's so sad. We have the option to tell the God of the universe, God, I'm not going to listen to you in the still small whisper. I'd really like you to shake the mountains. Cause me to tremble in fear. Because the only way I'm going to ever turn my face to you and actually listen to you is if you strike me with a disease. Because I only pray whenever my life is miserable. So you got to yell, God, or I'm not going to listen. Oh my gosh. Church, we can't resort to that kind of stupidity of relating with God. If you are the kind of individual that wants to go to God only when your world is in chaos, do you realize that that's God shouting, saying, I wish you would just listen to me. I wish you would just listen to me. But you never listen to me until you're on the verge of a nervous breakdown. You never listen to me until you have zero money in your bank account. So, church, here's my greatest gift to you. Choose today to listen to the still small voice. Because God is a merciful God and he's unrelenting in his passion for you. He will talk to you, but he'll talk to you in the most gentle way you'll listen. Would you stand with me this morning? Telling you, man, God is good, isn't he? He is so good. And in our lives, I don't want to be like the New Testament writer says, like an animal that has to be controlled with bit and bridle. I want to be sensitive and listen to the voice of the Lord this morning. Let's bow our heads. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say a simple prayer and I'm going to dismiss you this morning. And we're going to open up the altars. And if you would like to just come down and pray with one of us, you are more than welcome to do that. If you've never given your life to Christ and you would like to come and just surrender your life to the Lord, maybe your life has got to the point where it is so chaotic, you finally got to a place where you just fall on your knees and you say, God, I need to hear your voice. I need you to be the Lord of my life. If that's your morning, if that's this morning for you, don't leave church today without coming down to the altar and pulling me aside, and we're going to pray together, or one of the altar workers, because God wants to meet with you today, and you're here for a reason. So, Heavenly Father, I come to you with every person here in this room, and we turn our attention to you, Lord. We're your people. We're your sheep. We love you, and we know that you want to speak to our hearts today, and we know that you are unrelenting in your passion to speak to us. So God, speak to our hearts today and find us as willing listeners. We don't want you to show up by shaking the mountains and all of those things. We really want to quiet our souls before you this morning so that we can hear your still small voice. So God, speak to our hearts today as we focus on you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, you be blessed this Christmas season. Tomorrow night we have the TLP Project. This Friday night is the Ugly Christmas Sweater Bash. So if you've not planned on being here,
you got to come out. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have the Christmas story told by juggling, and we're going to show off some really ugly Christmas sweaters. So you guys have a great day. Have some coffee and donuts on us. Be blessed and drive safe. Oh, bless her.